with us to consider some of the stories of the week, Tereda and Irene Pink. Hi, how are you both?
Well, I, for one, am deeply concerned about the health and well-being of my courier driver, who we've had chicken, a lot of chicken in transit since Tuesday, and I'm just checking my watch. Yeah, it's Friday. So somewhere, I'm apologising to anyone in the West Auckland region whose packages turn up smelling vaguely foul-like.
Yeah. But they'll be in a refrigerated truck, though.
No. Right? Well,
why not?
No. I don't think so. But even then, like, well, there's stuff in there that probably can't be refrigerated. I did get a courier turn up this morning, but it was just a chainsaw blade and some lubricant. So, you know, there's the weekend sorted, but nothing to eat. But we're good other than that, Lynn. How's what level are you at?
Freedom. Like, how's freedom?
Relative freedom is rather lovely. Coming back into the studio is an absolute delight. My voice was so rough 2 days ago because I hadn't talked to anybody for 3 weeks. I couldn't figure it out. I completely lost my voice. Anyway, you've got a...
Is anyone truly free in Wellington ever, really? Look, let's crack into it.
Now, sleeping naked, there is no segue, so I'm just going to go into this. You have sent me contrasting advice. Good thing, bad thing?
Good thing and bad thing. Look, this is the... You just want to get into bed and the soft, clean sheets. Although, you know, not everyone has clean sheets. There was a survey that came out that said 30% of people confessed that they wash their bedding once a year or less. What is less than once a year? Yeah.
Doesn't it just grow around you, though, if you don't wash your sheets? Oh. I think that this whole thing about sleeping naked, though, I've always thought it was gross. You should actually put something on. I'm very much a fan of the Winset 90. And I also used to like this guy on the Old King Road when I used to live in London, a homeless guy. Every day he would put on his pajama top over all his clothes, go to sleep. In the morning he'd take it off. He had a sense of occasion. So if he
can have something.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, we've all discovered that in lockdown. Routine is important. But look, I do sometimes worry, like if you're in a hotel and you think, oh, what if there's like an emergency? And then I just go to sleep. But oh, look, a doctor.
Do you sleep naked? Do you actually sleep naked? Can I ask that question?
Like, is that too personal? I can't believe how shocked tone in your voice. You've known me for how long? Like a long time. Not clearly not that well. Look, a doctor is coming up. Let's move on from my night attire. Not anymore. I have a child now, so no. Look, the doctor is coming out. He's a plastic surgeon, so he knows things about bodies, probably more things than any of us want to know. He said the average person, look, they pass gas 15 to 25 times a day, but brace yourself, everybody. Apparently when you pass gas, according to this medical practitioner, you're spraying a tiny amount of what he has described in medical terms, I'm quoting him, a tiny amount of fecal material. If you sleep in the bath, then that material is going into your bed clothes.
Disgusting. See, yep. Told you, disgusting.
So pays to wear underwear, unless he says, unless you are a woman and your gynecologist has recommended that you sleep without underwear.
It just gets worse. Just wear a Winset 90 and everyone's happy.
Because that's kind of like the best of both worlds. There's a certain amount of freedom and aeration, but also dignity remains covered.
Of course, though, the other story is that you should sleep naked if you're a bloke because it's good for your sperm count or something. So it's just this whole world is generated around blokes, right? Like, you know, if you're a bloke, you get to, you know, have a horrible beard and basically procreate more. And it's like, nah, put a Winset 90 on.
Did you say bed or beard? Because I was worried because Irene and I are kind of on Zoom and I was worried that she's looking at my midlife crisis beard.
Is it a beard? Could we call it a beard though? Is it really or a bum fluff? Beard.
Little Izzy Vert, who is a rapper. Do you like my segues?
Really did. I liked it.
Thank you. Little Uzi. I haven't heard a Little Uzi Vert, but I'm going to go after this and YouTube some of his musical performances. He's got to be successful. He's got a $24 million diamond, apparently. And I don't know where would you keep yours, Irene?
In my Winset 90.
Do they have pockets, these 90s, little breast pockets?
No, they don't. No. They're just old lady 90s, but they're very comfortable. This dude, though, he had this apparently $24 million pink diamond in the middle of his forehead that got ripped out during a concert. I had a look at that diamond. Now, that didn't look like a $24 million diamond to me. It looked like a bit of pink glass.
How big was it? I've seen an image of it, Irene.
Oh, yeah. Just have a look. It doesn't look like, you know, when you see $24 million, like the Hope Diamond and all those ones, right? They don't look anything like this.
It's the fact that he had it surgically implanted in his face. Like a ring, I can understand. It's just how what are the hygiene? Like, you know, wouldn't there be bits of grit or sweat getting around the kind of where? And like,
now
I do, but also, is it it's clearly removable because someone, when he went crowd surfing, ripped it out. He still has it. Apparently, they gave it back. So, I mean, they were both violent but courteous. I just don't understand. Like, does it have a screw? Does it screw in? What else could we have? Like, I quite often want a nightlight. Can I put in like thing, like, and just screw a little nightlight into, you know, implant one of those.
Isn't that just like a headband light? Can't you just get one of those, you know?
Yeah.
You look like a minion if you did.
Tiara. What is wrong with a tiara?
Can we talk about the talking duck? Can we talk about the talking duck?
You can skip ahead to because talking duck. Why not?
Oh, it's just because this it's so cute. Like, they think that there's a musk duck. A musk duck is an Australian duck, and there's one in Australia called Ripper. Of course it's called Ripper. And and I'm not quite sure if this is the same duck, but apparently there was a recording of a duck done 7 years ago, 35 years ago, and this duck, it was swearing, and it kept making the sound of a closing door. And it kept saying, "You bloody fool," and then making the sound of a closing door. This is a duck. And I thought, that duck has obviously been around my dad, because that's what my dad does.
Just swears and closes. That's what dads do.
It's been around my dad, that duck.
Yeah. And they don't really know where the phrase came from, but they say that a hand-reared musk duck, such as Ripper was, they form strong human connections and they're likely to mimic the behaviour of their caregiver. So somewhere back in 1987, there was a guy who had a duck who clearly didn't like his duck.
Do you think he had an Australian accent, though? Do you think he was saying the duck?
You bloody fool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, of course, in Australia, you bloody fool can be a term of endearment as well.
Oh,
so maybe he really loved the duck. Maybe it was a funny duck.
Yeah.
It was a quack-up, a real quack-up of a duck. Thanks
very much. Oh, hey, look, I mentioned this story and I would like to talk about it. This is neighbours calling the police after children grabbed some chalk and went out onto the pavement and drew up a hopscotch. That was something I played a lot when I was growing up. You know, we didn't have much money. But you know what I mean? I can never imagine having been got in trouble for chalking on the pavement. This is just bizarre, I thought.
We had a story like this a few years ago from one of those big housing developments, those fancy, you know, one in the old quarry here in Auckland. What's that called? It's kind of fancy.
Stonefield.
Yeah, Stonefield. Yeah. Someone complained about the sound of children playing out there. So this is not unique to the UK or very anywhere. I think it's the kind of people who've had the joy sucked out of their life and they don't wish to hear the sound of children with hopes and aspirations playing together on the pavement.
Wait, Irene dissents. Only because I've got lots of kids around me, and the thing with kids is they scream. I don't quite get the whole screaming thing all the time. And it's not that's joy.
What
screaming.
Kind?
It's not.
It's
kids.
Joy. It's joyful screaming.
I know, but it does grate a little bit. I think when parents just don't hear it after a while. So I think it's a bit over the top to ban a kid with the chalk and stuff. But maybe the kids were awful.
Maybe they were drawing inappropriately shaped hopscotch. But they were drawing little streets they could ride their bikes on with traffic lights. Just a lot of joy. Don't take the joy away from the children. It's all they have, given that they can't go out and get an education.
Just stop screaming then. I'd rather have the duck, to be honest.
Not much sympathy there, you two, I would have to say, for the poor kids just wanting to go and have a good time. I've seen some glorious chalked art, actually, you know, going on on the walks and things like that. So I'm all for creativity and boo to those who call the police. Look, thank you both so much for your time this morning, talking to Tereda and Irene Pink with The Week That Was.